I want my joy to be your anchor and your rock and your foundation, and I want you to just keep right on going. That's what he's telling them. That's good news for me and you. And if you say to yourself, look, I'm tough, I'm one bad dude, I can handle things, you're going to find someone. You're going to come across someone. And you know what I'm talking about. You're going to come across someone at work or in your neighborhood or at school, and they're going to be doing this. And you're going to say, hey, can I talk to you? Because I can help you find a leveler. There's a joy that no one can take from you that is just this steady, and man, it's a lot better than that. I like roller coasters, but not that kind. So you're going to come across someone that you can help. And you can tell them, nobody takes this from you. When we enjoy Jesus personally, we just enjoy Jesus, and nobody takes that, you can't move us. You won't move us off of doing what Jesus asks us to do. I'm going to do it. I enjoy Him. That much I know about America. What we enjoy, we do. You won't pry our fingers off of what we enjoy doing. I think God knows that about humanity. You can enjoy me. And when life goes, we can't pry your fingers off of Jesus. You're unstoppable. That's the greatest thing. That's what the psalm she just read. We're just going to praise Him forever. We enjoy our Savior. When we enjoy something, you can't get us away from it. So Jesus is teaching them about joy. It's one of the things. Let me read to you John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And we'll come back and we're just going to start getting into it in the weeks ahead. I'm going to get a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. But we need to see, how do I get this joy? What's He thinking? What do I need to have in my mind and in my heart to get there? John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes that it bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So let's just, if you read this enough, let's just think about what He's just said and think about the context of where they're at in this upper room. I like Jesus preaching. He gives me hope. Because at the end of verse 14, He said, hey, rise, let's be going from here. And in verse 18, they leave. So, I mean, He's kind of like the old pastor that says, and in closing, and a half hour later, He's done. In verse 14, he said, hey, let's rise from here. But this little part here, they're maybe getting up from the table. They're maybe getting ready. They're starting to leave. Maybe they're starting to get their coats or whatever. And he's going to teach them still before they actually leave. And I don't know if maybe hanging on the wall was a little picture of a grapevine, or maybe sitting on the table was a big old cluster of grapes sitting there. And all of a sudden he breaks into this thing and he says, I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser or the gardener. You're the branches and you need to bear a lot of fruit. I want you to bear fruit. To me, that sounds like a little bit of a strange topic, knowing what's going to happen. If I'm preparing my people for this crazy thing that's about to happen, life-threatening, life-endangering, off-the-chart thing that's about to happen, it seems a little strange that I think I need to talk to them about bearing fruit right now. Be a good witness, be a good testimony, win people to Christ, share my word. I mean, it just seems like I would prepare them with something else. Like if you see weird things happen tonight, if you get really scared, don't worry, hang in there with me. You know, something like that. But all of a sudden, he starts talking about bearing fruit. And he's hours away from being killed. But he wants them to bear fruit. So what does this have to do with joy? My first point would be, I would just say, well, let's talk about fruit. It's a metaphor. I'm the true vine and my Father's the gardener. And I think in this, there's something for us to learn. As he says, let's talk about fruit right before this major event, maybe you and I need to talk about bearing fruit before the next major event comes along in our life. Maybe we should just talk about this whole idea of God's desire for us to bear fruit, because we know there's a day coming, there's another event coming. And he still wants us to bear fruit through it. It's going to get pretty bad. What's your next life-changing event going to be? I don't know. Do I know when it's going to be? No, I don't. Tonight? 2 years? I do not. But let's talk about it now. Because this much we know. The purpose of this whole metaphor, the purpose of the vine and the branches and the gardener, is all about fruit. There's only one purpose in this metaphor. You planted a vine. There's a gardener who takes care of that vine. And there is one thing he's looking for, and that's a crop. That's fruit. Here's the point. There are life-changing, significant events gonna come. And I look across this room and I've already got calls this morning of life-changing, significant events happening. Carolyn Comstock, put in life-induced, self-induced coma. She's got this, she's got this. She didn't plan that, I'm sure. There are life-changing events coming for you and I. Let's talk about it now, because here's what I know. Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. And we have a gardener who wants to bear fruit in those situations. He wants us to keep right on bearing fruit. They're going to go through this horrendous, ugly situation, this cross, this arrest, the thorns. They're going to watch him walk down the street half bleeding, half bloodied. He can't even carry his cross. They're going to have to get someone. You don't want your kids watching this. You take your kids home. You have gone and hidden your... I don't want my children to see this. It's that bad. And then the cross. And he says, by the way, I want you to bear fruit. Let's talk about fruit. I still want you to bear a lot of fruit. That's the purpose. Maybe that's the point for us. Maybe we talk about it ahead of time so that we just kind of reestablish in our mind our purpose is fruit. Our purpose is to multiply. Whether we're here or here, the joy levels us out and we just keep right on bearing fruit. We keep right on multiplying. Whatever it is you're going through, whether life is just one big thrill for you right now, or whether it's a valley, bear fruit, multiply. The gardener is still there, still working, bear fruit. Let's talk about it now. Keep your eyes on your purpose. It's to bear fruit. And the gardener will produce. He will lop and prune and clean. He's got it all planned out. He knows what he's doing. Our purpose is to bear fruit. Joy will keep us in that mode. Joy will lock us in. Whether we're here or here, joy here will still bear fruit. So let's talk about it ahead of time. I've seen a lot of fruit in the hardest of times. I've been called to hospital beds of people that didn't know me, didn't want to talk to me. We had a lady in here who left shortly after I came to preach here. Didn't like the way he was preaching, didn't like all this stuff, make me feel guilty, in the hospital bed, get a call, she wants to see you, I go up and talk to her, why would you want to see me? I'm the bad guy. I'm the guy that preaches the Bible. We talked to her in that hospital room, in that bed. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you know what this means? Do you know what that means? Oh, I'm not sure. Well, let me read to you. Do you believe that? Do you want to pray about that? I do believe that. Do you want to pray about that? Yes, let's pray about that. We lead that lady to the Lord right there, and she's dead 3 weeks later. That's not uncommon. That's very common. There's pastors doing that all over this planet today. Let's talk about the fruit. The fruit to be bore in some of the hardest situations you and I will go through. Let's talk about it ahead of time. Our purpose is to bear fruit, and sometimes in the mud and the slop and the not so fun, when the weather's like that, you bear some good fruit. You bear some good fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. Well, let's talk about this. I'm going to go through this. You're going to go through this. I want you to still bear fruit. So let me ask you the question. Let's just stop. If we're going to talk about fruit, let me ask you the question. How is your fruit? That's where you and I have to look right now. How is your fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Are you multiplying? Are you sharing something of your faith? Are you trying to multiply? That's what this metaphor is about. We're multipliers. We're fruit bearers. How is your fruit? How's it going? Do you want to bear more fruit? Would you like to bear more fruit? Well, the gardener wants you to bear more fruit. That's exactly what this metaphor says. I want you to bear more fruit. Keep bearing more fruit. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to study this metaphor, this story, this chapter. We're going to look at it. We're going to look at it ahead of time. We're going to remember our purpose is to bear fruit. And if you're not bearing fruit, we want you to bear fruit. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. More fruit. You bearing some fruit? Great. Not bearing as much as you want? Cool. He's going to prune. So we bear more. Because we're never satisfied. There's more fruit to be borne. All right. So we've talked about it. Now let's get organized. Let's get this garden organized. Let's just think about organization. We like organization. A lot of people are very organized people, and so is the Lord. And there is organization in His garden. Let's get this garden organized. So in this metaphor, in this story, there are a few players, right? The true vine, the gardener, and the fruitful branches, unfruitful branches, branches. Okay, so we're organized. There we are. There's this vine. And this vine runs into our church this morning and starts going down rows, down pews. And there are branches I'm looking at hooked to this vine. Maybe in some way you could say our church here, our little group, we're a little garden. But there's this vine running through the pews with all these beautiful branches looking up. There is a true vine, and this is what I want to look at first. In the very first phrase, have you ever asked yourself, why does Jesus say, I am the true vine? I'm the true vine. Why didn't he just say, I'm the vine, you're the branches? Hang out with me. Now he says, I am the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. He's the gardener. He's the one with the pruning shears and the rake and the matches. I am the true vine. Why does he say that? Well, you'd say to yourself, because there are other religions and there are other things, and he's the true one. He's the right one. Well, you'd be partially right. But that's not what these people were thinking. That's not what these people knew. I am the true vine. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, and I'll show you what they were thinking. Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 1 through 7. Man, I hear them pages rustling. It is beautiful. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. Now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns will grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed; for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. I'll tell you why he said, I am the true vine, because Israel knew itself in the Old Testament to be God's vineyard. And they thought that by being a part of that vineyard, they were fine. They were okay. And they were producing wild grapes. And Jesus comes along and says, I'm the true vine of Israel. I'm the true vine of God. I am the vine growing up out of Israel that you need to be connected to. You need to be the branch of. It is in me. You will bear the fruit. They produced wild grapes, sour grapes, not the grapes that you make good things out of, not the grapes you want to make wine out of, not the grapes you want to make your jelly out of, not the grapes you want to provide for your family. They produced wild grapes that were good for nothing. And he tore down its wall and had it trampled, and that's what happened to Israel. He walked away from it and let the wild beasts trample it down. And here comes Jesus, and he says, I am the true vine of Israel. Stay connected to me, not Israel. That doesn't get you anything. I'm the one you'll bear fruit for the gardener for. Psalm chapter 80. Psalm chapter 80 is another one we need to look at. Psalm 80. This is throughout Scripture. They knew they were the vineyard of the Lord. Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. Pay attention right here. And for the son who you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself, that we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. I am the true vine. I am the Son of Man made strong from this vineyard, from this vine that came up out of Egypt and you planted us here. But we walked away. We walked away. And you tore down our walls and let the wild boars come in and trample us. But you've brought a strong man, a son of man, who will carry on your work. See, Jesus was right when it says in the New Testament that he explained himself to them from the Old Testament, even going back as far as Moses. The Old Testament is full of Jesus. It's full of the story. Right there it is. I am the true vine. And there's a gardener. And he has the right in his garden to tear that wall down, to walk away, and to bring up one strong vine to bear the fruit that he wants to bear. I have one more psalm I want to look at. Because in our organized garden, we have the true vine, that strong man, that Jesus, that he wants us to stay with. We have the branches, and we have a gardener. We have a gardener. The branches are certainly never in control of the garden. The branches just kind of bear fruit naturally from this life-flowing sap from the vine flows out into those branches, and we bear fruit. We multiply. But there's a gardener who has shears and rakes and hoes. He can speak to the clouds to water his vineyard. And we know on this night in Jesus' life, it was going to get really hard. There were going to be a lot of tears shed. They were going to be terrified. And I believe, I'm one that believes Jesus was terrified this night. From humanly speaking, I believe he was scared. And so he prayed, "Father, take this cup from me, if it be your will." I believe he understood fear. I know he understood anger. He had the emotions we have. And on this night, there would be just frightened, terrified followers of Jesus. He himself in the garden prayed. Great drops of sweat like blood pouring off of him. The emotional magnitude of this situation, much like some of ours. He was about to give up his life. Listen to what this psalm says about bearing fruit in just such situations. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing sheaves with him." Oh, restore us, Lord. You may be planting in tears. You may go out with the bag of seed in tears, weeping, barely able to function and move, except for the joy of the Lord keeps you going, planting in tears. And he says, you will come home carrying sheaves in joy. And that's what happened this night. This night was awful. But come Sunday, there were sheaves of joy. For the next 40 days, Luke tells us, he showed up, appearing many infallible proofs, sheaves of joy, unimaginable joy, all built off of this night and its terrifying events. Even Peter runs and hides. Horrible, horrible night. Planted in tears, reaping in joy. That's the message. We need the joy of Jesus to keep us planting in tears, reaping sheaves of joy. It's an amazing thing. It's the way the gardener has his garden organized. I prune you. I cut off certain unwanted branches in you so you bear more fruit. We do that, right? You got tomato plants? You pinch off certain branches, right? I want all the life-flowing juices to go up to those fruit-bearing, but you've got a couple branches here that are really kind of dead weight, kind of good for now. I know you love them, but they're just taking up the good sap. The good life-giving nutrients are going out to these branches. You don't need them. Oh, Lord, I love that. Oh, Lord, no, not that branch, no. Sorry, but I need my life-flowing nutrients to go there because we're looking at fruit. Oh, man, you and I have got to learn this. We've got to know this. The next time trouble rolls around, we're planting. We're still planting because we enjoy bearing fruit for our Savior. We're still planting. Tears flowing down our face. God's got a crop. And we're going to reap. Give us a couple months. Look at that fruit. We're going to reap with joy. With joy. Jesus, joy. My gardener did this. My gardener did this. This is amazing. I'd have never planned it this way. I'd have never organized this garden this way. I'd have never organized my life this way. I'd have never constructed it like this. God did it. And man, look where we're at. Look at this fruit. Let the gardener have his work. Keep planting. You'll know the joy of Jesus. You will know the joy of Jesus. That's a beautiful psalm right there. If you're a Bible marker, you've got to circle that. Particularly verses 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. Oh my goodness. It doesn't get any better than that. We're organized. We have this gardener. We have this true vine. This true vine. And you can't miss the teaching here that he keeps telling them to abide in the true vine. This is a faith statement. This is a faith statement. Jesus is the true vine, but there's been some pruning going on. There's tears. This is terrifying, horrifying. I hate this. My life sucks right now. Sorry, babe. It's just the truth. That's a faith statement. Abide in me. Stay in me. That's all abide means. It's a very common word. It means stay put. Remain in the true vine. You've got to stay in me. You can't do anything. You can't do anything apart from me. Stay. Remain. Don't move. Don't run. Abide. Stay. Why does he say that? Why does he keep saying, abide, stay, remain? Because when life gets terrifying and horrifying and hard, we get happy feet. We tend to run. That's what we do as humans. I've got to find some happiness. I've got to find my happy place, because this is horrible. What can I do to find an ounce of happy? And we do some crazy things. And he says, whoa, stop, stay, remain right here, locked on me. That's why. Abide in the true vine. Abide. Just stay put. We're prone to wander, the hymn says. We look around. We get real unhappy. We get snarky. We get bitter. We get angry. We get confused. We get guilty. Oh, this is all my fault. We get wounded. Writer of Hebrews says we neglect our salvation. Writer of Hebrews says, endure like Jesus. Don't neglect each other. Don't neglect the gathering of yourselves together. Endure. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. We go everywhere looking for an ounce of joy, and we often leave here. We leave the other fruitful branches. We're just looking. We're wandering for an ounce of joy, an ounce of happiness, something, a pill to get me through this. We neglect our very salvation and the gathering of ourselves together. Oh, it doesn't mean you don't come. It doesn't mean you're not saved. Just neglected. If we neglected our children like we neglect our salvation, or we neglect our gathering together, if that's how we neglected our children, we'd all be in jail. Doesn't mean I don't love my kids. It just means I left my kid in the car while I went into Walmart and they were in the car by themselves and somebody saw and called the police and I'm in trouble for neglecting my child. Doesn't mean I'm not with them. You neglected your housework. It doesn't mean you don't live there anymore. It just means you're not cleaning up. You neglect your car, guys. It doesn't mean you don't drive your car, love your car. It means you're not changing the oil. You're not cleaning it out. You're neglecting it. And he says, when we get into these enduring, hard, tearful situations, we sometimes neglect our salvation. We neglect gathering, meeting together. We neglect the support we need from the other branches holding us up in the true vine. That is the only source of life-flowing nutrients into us. I don't feel like coming today. Stay. Remain in me. Abide in the true vine. Stay in everything he offers. He had to tell him over and over again. And my gosh, if you know the story, you know that Peter was the first to run. Jesus had to go find him fishing. Let's go fishing. Let's get back to our fishing. That's who we are. And Jesus had to show up on the shore and say, do you love me? Is it because Peter didn't believe in Jesus anymore? He knew Jesus face to face. He ate with him. He just left. Stay. Stay. Abide. Remain. Lock in. Don't neglect your salvation. Don't neglect meeting together. Don't neglect those other branches. Stay in the vine. He's our hope. And there are two hopes. Listen, when you and I, when you're going through it, when you're scraping the bottom, life is hard. There is one hope that we all have, and that is How soon before I recover out of this? That's my hope. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? How long before we're restored? Whatever it is, you picture it. What is it? You're at the bottom. Life is as hard and as low as it's going to get. You are miserable. I can't believe what's going on. How long before things get back to normal? That's what we say. How long before things are back to normal? What is normal? That's our hope, restoration. Back to normal. There's two hopes in the garden. There's two hopes with this gardener. Restoration is one of them. But you know what the other hope is? It's fruit. It's fruit. Life's horrible, but do you want to find an ounce of joy? In this, I was able to talk to somebody about Christ who I wasn't able to talk to before. In this time, in this hospital bed, I was able to share my joy with the nurse. At this funeral, we were able to share the gospel people are talking about, making decisions. In this divorce, I was able to, and I went. There's two hopes. Staying in the vine with the gardener locked in. The juices are flowing. There's two hopes. On this night, yes, this night is ugly. Blood everywhere this night. Blood on the cross. Blood on the pavement. Blood on Jesus. Blood everywhere. Sowing in tears. Oh my gosh, when is life going to get back to normal? Bear fruit. Bear much fruit through this. And they did. And they did. And they did. And they did. There's two hopes. Maybe this is the time I can talk to that person. Maybe this event will open their eyes. I'm not going to let this misery go to waste. I'm going to lock into the vine. I'm going to lock in. I'm going to let the gardener prune and work. Maybe now, we'll bear that fruit. Who have you been praying for? What fruit have you been waiting for? We all have our eyes set on some fruit. I want to see this person come to Christ. I want to see this person come to church. I want to be able to talk to that person at work. I want to be able to talk to him or her. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus, the vine and the gardener have a lot more fruit in mind for you than that. I know that's what's precious to us. I'm just going to tell you, there's so much more fruit to be had that we can't even imagine. And maybe this is the time. I've talked to Wendy and countless others at funerals, and I've said the same question to everyone. Why is it that we have to go through this to get someone to open their eyes? Why does it come to this before we get to share Christ with them? Before they'll move this much toward, why do we got to bury somebody before we'll even think about it? And I'll be honest with you, I'd rather do a funeral any day than a wedding. I'd rather do a funeral any day than the wedding. Me and the funeral director dude up at Adrian, Michigan, had a good talk and a good laugh because he's a retired pastor now working for the funeral home. And we got to talking about it, and I said, I'd rather do a funeral any day than a wedding because people are listening at a funeral. And he started laughing. He said, me too. He said, I feel like I'm being used at a wedding. I mean, a robot could do that. And then they're like, come on, just get out of the way so we can fire up some drinks and have some dancing and celebrate. And you're gone and nobody's... Who was that dude that just did... I mean, it's just total waste of time. Not a funeral. No, no, no. Hearts are open at a funeral. People listening. People wouldn't set foot in church. They're there, and they're listening. And any preacher boy with his salt probably tell you that. I'd rather do a funeral any day. There's fruit to be had. There's two hopes on this night. One is that life will get back to normal, and the other one is, how much fruit are we going to bear through this horrific time? And it's a faith thing. Am I going to have the faith in the gardener, in his pruning and cleaning and moving and removing? Am I going to hang in there with the vine? Trust the gardener. Restore us. Restore us, Lord, with fruit and joy. Restore the joy of my salvation with fruit, with Jesus' joy. So, it's all set up. It's all set up. It's all organized for us to bear fruit, to have joy nobody can take away. So let's do it. Let's produce a harvest that will bring us deep and lasting joy. John chapter 15, verse 8 says this. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Why is Jesus' joy important? Because we're going to bear much fruit. Because we're going to bear much fruit. You are going to bear much fruit. No, we're not going to bear little fruit. No, 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 no. Well, maybe, I don't know. No, no, no. Bear much fruit. You are going to bear much fruit if we approach it the way Jesus teaches it. And, listen, verse 8, by this my Father's glorified. Do you want to glorify God? I have your head. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Bear much fruit. In this pain, planting in tears, coming home with arms full of fruit in joy, much fruit, you glorify your Father. We glorify God. We glorify that gardener. Man who planted that garden, look at the berries on that vine. Is that your garden? Is that your garden? Holy cow, how did you do that? What kind of fertilizer did you put on that? What do you know? Teach me how to garden. Because that's crazy. I have never seen berries that big. Glorify the Father. Bear much fruit. Glorify the gardener. And, weird one right here. So prove to be my disciples. So prove to be my disciples. Why do I got to prove I'm your disciple? Prove it. Show them. Nail it down. You planted in tears. You went through this horrific thing, and you had the joy of Jesus and just kept planting, and now you have all this fruit. And you prove. You've proven. I'm his disciple. Here, and here, and here, and here. I'm his real, true disciple. Look at the fruit. It came out of this pile of manure. You know something? Here's something you need to know about your Bible. When you read the word disciple in your Bible, that's a generic term. That's a generic term. That doesn't mean believer. That means follower. Palm Sunday, all that crowd, John said, they still didn't believe. But they were called disciples. The Pharisees said to Jesus, you need to tell your disciples to pipe down with some of this stuff. And he said, if they shut up, the rocks are going to cry out, brother. And John said, and they still didn't believe. They're going to crucify him on Friday. How many times does the Bible talk about the 12 disciples? We all know they weren't 12 believers. It says very clearly, you are all clean, but not all of you. He knew that Judas wasn't his. He didn't choose Judas. It says very clearly right here. Judas wasn't a believer. He wasn't one of his. He's the son of perdition, not chosen by God. Not a believer, not clean. A disciple. No, there isn't anybody. The Bible says disciples. Disciple doesn't mean you're a believer. It means you're a follower. You're here today. You could be a disciple. I don't know if you're a believer. You go through the valley, the shadow of death. You fear no evil. My God, my rod and your staff, you comfort me. And I'll bear much fruit. Planting in misery prove to be you are a true disciple of the living God. You're a true branch. Life flowing nutrients from the true vine. You tell me, you're bearing much fruit, you're glorifying God and proving you are a disciple. You tell me you're not full of joy. That isn't fun right there. That isn't it. I love my life in Jesus. I love this. When life is good, it's good and we're bearing fruit. And when life is horrible, it's horrible and we're bearing fruit and God is glorified and people are coming to the Lord and I see God, I know I'm His disciple. I'm proving it. I'm bearing it out. Here it is. God is with me in this valley. You tell me that's not the joy of Jesus. There isn't anywhere I go, anything we do, God isn't working. The gardener's not working in me. The vine's not with me, pumping life through me. This is crazy. I'm planning. I'll tell you what, I am planning on it. I am planning on bearing fruit. No matter what happens in my life, I'm going to bear fruit. I'm planning on it because I know it. He's with me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to stop pruning and pumping. We're going to bear fruit. We're going to bear fruit when we get this. Let's lock into the true vine. Your valley is just a crop of fruit, man. It's a big old basket of fruit for the gardener, if you let him. We've talked about it ahead of time. We know there's organization. Sometimes in those trenches flows a lot of water and a lot of good manure. And in those valleys, there's a lot of fruit to be born. There's a lot of glory to our Father. Oh, those valleys aren't the end of life. I'm not going to just cry around, moan around. These things I have written to you. These things I have spoken to you that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. I'm telling you ahead of time. I'm telling you the organization. Stay in the vine. Let the gardener do his work. Bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. Glorify your Father. Prove you are a true disciple with the true vine. bear much fruit. You won't enjoy your salvation. You won't enjoy your Heavenly Father. You won't enjoy your Savior any more than when you've planted in tears and reaped a harvest with joy. Enjoy your Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your encouragement. Lord, we need this. We need this now for the day that's coming. We need this now for other brothers and sisters who think they're doing something wrong, who think they're guilty, who think they've lost your blessing. We need this to encourage them. They're right where the gardener has them. There's fruit to be born. So, Lord, thank you for your word. It's beautiful and rich. And we love you. We love that you are such a master gardener. You bear fruit in any and all situations. Lord, bear fruit in us. Bear fruit here. We're your garden. We're your vineyard. We believe in the true Jesus Christ, the true vine, the Lord and Savior. He's our Lord. Bear fruit here, Lord. By your Spirit, by the life that you give, Lord, bear fruit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. No? Thank you, guys. Have a great day.